Monsieur Jouetard, je crois qu'il est temps pour moi de terminer cette émission d'une heure d'aujourd'hui. Je vous remercie pour votre fidélité et n'oubliez pas de nous écrire à notre courriel. voilisteners@gmail.com voilisteners@gmail.com Donc, je vous souhaite bonne journée, bonne soirée et à bientôt.
Welcome to the news on Voice of Indonesia. These are the headlines. President Prabowo attends Gaza Peace Summit in Egypt. Indonesia's push to lead Palestinian transition at Gaza Summit. I'm Ray and this is the news in details. President Prabowo Subianto is en route to Egypt to attend a high-stakes Gaza Peace Summit. His office confirmed on Sunday, the sudden diplomatic move is coupled with a significant military readiness order as the president has directed the Indonesian National Armed Forces to prepare peacekeeping troops for potential deployment to Gaza. Ramasyid Kipratama has the details.
Bapak Presiden menyampaikan kepada kita semua bahwa kemarin
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto departed for Sharm el-Sheikh, Cairo, Egypt on Monday to attend the Gaza Peace Summit. Ministry of State Secretary Prasetyo Hadi, in his statement to journalists after a close meeting in Jakarta on Sunday, said the invitation was received on short notice. However, Prabowo accepted it as a form of Indonesia's support for Palestine.
Undangan tersebut betul-betul memohon kesediaan
This invitation sincerely requested the willingness and presence of President Prabowo as it is part of the continuation of negotiations which, God willing, can bring peace to Palestine and especially to Gaza. So the President just informed all of us that, to maintain good relations and as part of our ongoing efforts, he has decided to attend this invitation. Hadi also mentioned the possibility of Indonesia sending peacekeeping troops to Gaza if needed. Furthermore, Hadi stated that in the meeting, the Deputy Commander of the Indonesian National Armed Forces, or TNI, Tandio Budi Revita, had been asked to prepare troops for that purpose. In our view, if a constructive agreement is indeed reached, it's not impossible that the direction will lead to that. The President also just confirmed that if an agreement is reached leading to a positive outcome, meaning peace is achieved, and one of the consequences is that we, Indonesia, are asked to participate in sending peacekeeping troops, Deputy Commander of the TNI was asked to start preparing so that if needed, we are ready.
Dibutuhkan kita sudah siap.
20 heads of state, including Indonesia, are gathering in Egypt to attend the Gaza Peace Summit. The meeting will be led by U.S. President Donald Trump and Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. The Egyptian presidency said the meeting aims to end the war in Gaza, enhance efforts to achieve peace and stability in the Middle East, and usher in a new era of regional security and stability. Ramasyid Kipratama, Voice of Indonesia.
As President Prabowo Subianto heads to the Gaza Peace Summit in Egypt, an international observer has urged him to propose an Indonesia figure to lead a transitional government in Palestine, citing the nation's diplomatic credibility and Muslim majority status. Nur Kamila has the details.
International observer Himanto Juwana on Monday expressed hope that President Prabowo Subianto can play a role for Indonesia in supporting the governmental transition in Palestine. President Prabowo Subianto was reported to have departed for Egypt in the early hours of Monday to attend the Gaza Peace Summit in Egypt. In interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, Himanto stated that Indonesia has sufficient modalities to contribute to and support the governmental transition in Palestine.
I hope that our president at the meeting, summit meeting in Egypt, that he will propose an Indonesian to be the head of the transitional government. Why it has to be Indonesian? Because one, we have majority Muslim population. Secondly, Indonesia have been very active in peacemaking. And thirdly, we have a lot of competent persons, including one of them is our former Vice President, Yusuf Kalla. And he has a lot of concern in the, you know, for the Palestinian, so that he can well receive by the Palestinian and also the Israeli. Because they wanted to have, relations with Indonesia.
Padre Mohimanto highlighted the importance of the government transition momentum for Israel and Palestine to resume peace talk. He also emphasized the crucial role and support needed from all countries in the world to ensure the transition runs properly. He also stated Indonesia could utilize the governmental transition momentum to provide important input to the International Stabilization Force, ESF, which a commitment force from the U.S., other countries, and international partners.
Well, we know for sure that Indonesia will contribute to the ISF. This has been a commitment made by our president at the United Nations. That's one. Secondly, of course, we will hopefully send aids to the people of Palestine in Gaza, because they are they needed food, they needed water, clean water, they needed also medicine. And I hope that our government will expand hospitals that they set up in Gaza, so that they can treat those who are wounded.
A total of 20 heads of state are getting in Egypt to enter the Gaza peace summit. The meeting will be led by United States President Donald Trump and Egypt President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi. Al-Sisi said the meeting aims to end the war in Gaza and send effort to achieve peace and stability in the Middle East and user in a new era of regional security and stability. Nur Pamela, Voice of Indonesia.
President Prabowo Subianto emphasized the importance of maintaining the stability of the national financial system amidst global economic dynamics. In a meeting with Vice President Gibran Raka Buming Raka and several ministers, the president also discussed the implementation of policies regarding exports proceeds forex. Ofra Regina has the details.
President Prabowo Subianto led a meeting attended by Vice President Gibran Raka Buming Raka and several ministers of the Merah Putih Cabinet on Sunday. The meeting discussed the condition and stability of the financial system and the national banking system. Minister of State Secretary Prasetyo Hadi stated that President Prabowo also highlighted the implementations of government policies related to the management of export proceeds, forex, which have been regulated through a government regulations.
Salah satunya mengenai
one of them concerned our financial system and banking system. This also included a discussion regarding the outcome of the government regulation we issued concerning the matter of exports proceeds forex.
Devisa hasil ekspor.
The government has launched Government Regulations No. 8 of 2025 concerning export proceed forex, which has been in effect since March 1, 2025. These regulations mandate natural resource exporters in the non-oil and gas mining plantations, forestry and fishery sector to place 100% of their natural resource export proceeds forex into special account in national banks for a minimum of 12 months. Ofra Regina, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government is committed to strengthening the role of museums so they can have a broader impact on society and national culture. This was stated by Indonesian Minister of Culture Fadli Zon at the commemoration of Indonesian Museum Day 2025 on Sunday in Jakarta. Kiki Novitasari Purba has the full reports.
The commemoration of Indonesian Museum Day 2025 was held on Sunday, October 12, 2025 in Jakarta. This event served as a momentum to strengthen the role of museum as space for cultural preservation and intergenerational learning. This year, Indonesian Museum Day adopted the theme Sustainable Museum, Dignified Culture. In his address, Director General of Culture Heritage and Tradition at the Minister of Culture, Restu Gunawan, explained that the term signifies the meaning of museum as cultural institution that not only preserve collection and cultural heritage from the past, but also encourage stable practices and strengthen cultural identity. He added that the effort is carried out through active educational initiative involving the community. According to him, this is in line with the goals of sustainable development.
Museums are not merely places to store ancient objects, but also become adaptive institutions that play an active role in instilling cultural values and can serve as a link between generations, both now and the future.
Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Museum Association, Putu Supatmarudana, encouraged young Indonesians to get to know museum from an early age. The goal is for museum to truly become learning space for the nation's next generation.
We are also encouraging a movement for all members of society from an early age, from children in early childhood education, elementary school, junior high school, to senior high school, to visit museums and appreciate their grandeur from the past to the present.
Indonesian Museum Day has been commemorated every October 12th since 2015. The date of October 12th was chosen in accordance with the date of the first of all Indonesia Museum deliberation held in Yogyakarta in 1962. Kiki Novitasari Purba, Voice of Indonesia.
The commemoration of Indonesia Museum Day 2025 serves as a momentum to strengthen the role of museums as spaces for cultural preservation and intergenerational learning. The event held on Sunday in Jakarta carried the theme Sustainable Museums, Dignified Culture. Kiki Novitasari Purba has the details.
Indonesian Minister of Culture, Fadli John, on Sunday, October 12, 2025, conveyed the government commitment to continuously strengthen the potential of all museums in Indonesia. In his speech at the commemoration of Indonesia Museum Day 2025 in Jakarta, Fadli John said museums have a crucial role that goes beyond just preserving history, but also support effort to advance the cultural industry.
The government through the Ministry of Culture is committed to strengthening the potential of museums, not only as guardians of heritage, but also as catalysts for advancing a cultural industry that is competitive, inclusive and sustainable.
Budaya yang berdaya saing, inclusive dan berkelanjutan.
Furthermore, Fadli John also highlighted the strategic role of museum in the field of knowledge. According to him, museums are showcase of the nation's culture and the front line in preserving various important artifacts and ecopacks of the Indonesian nation.
Museum Indonesia merupakan rumah.
Museums are homes of knowledge, education, and the nation's collective memory. So they do not only function as spaces for storage, but also as spaces for learning, spaces for intergenerational dialogue, windows that open insights into how a nation, their civilization.
Bagaimana bangsa membangun peradaban.
Furthermore, Fadli John also conveyed the government's commitment to advancing Indonesia's national culture within world civilization. He hoped that cultural preservation effort, the priorities innovation, collaboration, and community empowerment can create social impact and drive economic growth in Indonesia. Kiki Novitasari Purba, Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesia National Board of Zakat Collection has just launched a book titled Green Zakat Framework, Implementation of Green Economy at Basnas in Jakarta on Monday. Chairman of the Indonesian Basnas, Zainul Bahar Nur, emphasized that Green Zakat is a new step that places concerns for the environment as a part of humanity's moral responsibility. More details from Anissa Audrita.
Chairman of the Indonesian National Board of Zakat Collection or Basnas, Zainul Bahar Nur, explained that the Green Zakat is not merely a guidance document, but a movement that combines social, economic, and ecological values in zakat management. He stated this while delivering a speech at the launch of the book Green Zakat Framework, Implementation of a Green Economy at Basnas in Jakarta on Monday, October 13, 2025. He stressed the importance of positioning zakat not only as an effort to alleviate poverty, but also as an instrument to maintain environmental balance and life sustainability.
Karena dari itu, zakat.
Therefore, zakat needs to be positioned not only as a solution to poverty, but also as an instrument to maintain the balance of life, sustainability, as I mentioned earlier.
Keseimbangan kehidupan. Sustainability seperti tadi saya sebutkan.
Furthermore, Zainul Bahar added that implementation of green zakat needs to be supported by digital innovation and environmentally friendly cross-sectoral cooperation. This is intended so that the spirit of the green economy can be applied in a tangible way.
Dalam kelembagaan kita ini, penerapan green
within our institutions, the implementations of the Green Office, another term we use for green beyond green economy, along with energy efficiency and digital transformation, is something that we must implement as perfectly as possible.
Dan transformasi digital merupakan sesuatu bagian yang harus kita terapkan dengan sempurnanya.
The book Green Zakat Framework, Implementation of a Green Economy at Business, contains a strategic guide for integrating the values of sustainability and a green economy into zakat management. Through this book, Basnas encourages zakat institutions across Indonesia as well as other stakeholders to adopt environmentally friendly principles at every stage in line with the national commitment to sustainable development. Anissa Audrita, Voice of Indonesia.
International observer Tuku Rezasha said on Monday that denying visas to athletes set to compete in a country is a common and normal practice exercised by nations. Previously, the Indonesian government decided not to grant a visa to an Israeli gymnast who was scheduled to participate in the World Artistic Gymnastics Championship 2025 in Jakarta. According to the coordinating Minister of Law, Human Rights, Immigration, and Penitentiary Affairs, Yusril Iza Mahendra, this decision was made in accordance with the directive of President Prabowo Subianto, who condemned Israel's actions against Palestine, and following a rejection from the Indonesian Ulema Council. In an interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, Tuku Rezasha cited examples where the United Nations often faces similar situations, such as when the U.S. State Department denies visas for Palestinian delegates intending to attend UN sessions. Let's listen to the interview for the details.
Well, listener, as we know, the Indonesian government has decided not to grant visas to Israeli gymnasts to participate in the 2025 World Artistic Gymnastics Championship at Indonesia Arena, Jakarta from October 19th to 25th in 2025. And for a listener, to discuss more, we have a special guest, the international observer Tuku Rezasha, to discuss more about this topic. So, Pak Tuku, how are you today?
Very well. Greetings from Bandung, the capital city of Asia and Africa.
Yes. So, right now, the Indonesian government has officially announced the rejection of visas applications for the Israeli gymnasts who were set to compete in the World Artistic Gymnastics Championship 2025 in Jakarta. So, from an international relation perspective, can you explain to us a little bit, how do you see and how do you view this decision?
Well, to be honest, the World Artistic Gymnastics Championship 2025 is a huge event. It will involve about 86 nations. But normally, in order to enter one country, there is a procedure called applying for a visa. And I think it is the right of Indonesia to say yes or no to the applicant. And in this case, Indonesia has showed a authority not issuing visa to the Israeli athletes and delegation, the coaches there, team managers are there. But the decision has been made. And my job as a scholar is to inform why the decision is made. Well, I think this is the authority of Indonesia, because it is normal. Oftenly, if Indonesians would like to go to study or to do business to a target country in Europe or America, there are visa restrictions. And of course, this is in my opinion, this is a normal things for countries to provide visa or not to provide visa. If we see the United Nations, for example, often the state government rejects visa for Palestinian delegations to come to the UN session. So I think this is normal, and I think in this case, for the Indonesian case, the decision has been made after assessing domestic and international implications of this visa issuance or not issuance of this visa. Because when it comes to the Israeli issue, this is something very sensitive inside Indonesia, and it could affect Indonesian domestic stability, especially when President Prabowo today is scheduled to depart Egypt for a peace summit in the capital city of Egypt, or Cairo. So I think Indonesia understands that not issuing a visa is right as the sovereign country, and it doesn't want to give a signal to the world, Israeli athlete over here and sending the president over there to Egypt, and he may the president of Egypt, and then in this case there will be signed for diplomatic relations. This is something very sensitive for Indonesia, and in this regard I think I could understand why Indonesia do not issue visa for the Israeli athlete to come from 19 until the 25th of October.
Okay, but some parties believe that this policy could affect Indonesia's image as the host for international sporting event. They will think that if there are some things happening in their country, maybe they cannot participate in the future event from Indonesia. So what do you think about that?
This is correct. And of course, this Indonesian position will receive comments here. From countries in the world, from NGOs in the world, from sports organizations in the world. But in short, the comments with Indonesia abstain, not discussing the sensitive topic, or they are critical towards Indonesia. Well, this is, I think the Indonesian government is very clear in that it has a free and active foreign policy. Yeah? And then Indonesia understand that it doesn't want to be inconsistent with its free and active foreign policy, and we understand the global implication for this. For example, we will receive strong comments from the Israeli government, the Israeli athlete, who says that, hey, you need to differentiate between sports and politics. But at the same time, when it comes to the real politics, the U.S. government are critical to the Palestinian contingent, for example. So this is something we need to inform to the world, because even though we have received understanding from countries in the United Nations General Assembly, among others, 140 countries are pro-Palestinian, but anyway, we need to inform the rest of the world, because in today's news in the world, especially in the West, bad news are good news. So I'm sure they will pressure Indonesia in this case. But the job of Indonesia to explain to the world, in the role of Radio Indonesia, Television Indonesia, is very important, because for Indonesia, sports is one thing, but maintaining national stability is more important for Indonesia. We do not want to take risks. We do not want to take risks. For example, Israeli athlete coming here, they will broadcast the news. There are about 10 people coming, male and female athletes, and not to mention their officials, and also their cameramen, their media relations officers. They will be here, and each of them will utilize their social media. Maybe they will have an online interview. So in this case, Indonesia doesn't want to take risks for this specific issue.
Okay, so many also see the government's move as an act of solidarity with the Palestine. And do you think that this action represents genuine solidarity from Indonesia itself? Or should sports ideally remain separate from political manners?
Yeah, this is it really shows solidarity to the Palestinian, but also it shows solidarity to the Indonesian public, who are very concerned the arrival of Israeli athlete could challenge Indonesian sovereignty, and it could become it could produce an implication to the Indonesian domestic stability. In this case, we have to acknowledge sports and politics are inseparable. And in this case, Indonesia needs to convince itself that it has all the right to maintain its what we call a sovereignty and territorial integrity. And at the same time, we have to take the risk. This is the risk we take. Maybe Indonesian position will become a long-term memory for Israel, and long-term memory for countries who are pro-Israel, and also long-term memory for the institution that they are dealing with, country who is very strong, who has a very strong commitment. And I'm sure Indonesian policy of not issuing visa would become a long-term record for the World Artistic Gymnastics Championships in the long run.
Okay, that is really interesting. So, from this perspective of the international relations and also sportsmanship, how should the global sports community respond when political issues begin to affect international competitions, like right now, between the tensions between countries?
Well, I think the Israeli government will receive support from its fellow companions in the world. They will organize an appeal to the Court of Arbitration for sport. They will become a global issue for Indonesia. Indonesia will have to spend time to defend itself. And it is good for Indonesia that this is a special forum to express to the world this is our free and free and active foreign policy, and we are very committed. And Indonesia is among the strongest committed country in supporting the independence of the Palestine to become a sovereign nation. So in case the Israeli and its supporters in Europe are doing an appeal to the Court of Arbitration for sport, this is good for Indonesia. It is an advertisement on its consistency, and also an advertisement to the world on the need to better take care of the Palestinian state of life.
Okay. So finally, the final question I would like to ask you. What steps do you think Indonesia can take to uphold the principle of sportsmanship while remaining sensitive, especially in this topic about the political and humanitarian dimensions of Israel-Palestine conflict?
Firstly, Indonesia has to prove internationally that it has that this is a very special, and not many countries have got to conduct this kind of policy. Indonesia, this is a strong position it has conducted since we introduced our constitution in 1945, that we reject colonization on earth. So in this case, Indonesia will have to conduct global diplomacy in all events, in all international venues, UN venues, and then Organization of Islamic Conference venues, non-aligned venues, and then Arab League venues, ASEAN venues. That what Indonesian is doing is not discrimination. No. What we are against is the Israeli in the Palestine. We are not against Israeli citizens. No. Because in Indonesia, we respect international religion. We respect international community. But for this very specific event, we need to show that this very special case, for Indonesia, domestic stability is much more important than international credibility. And more often, our president policy at the moment in Egypt should never be a compromise of having Israeli athletes inside Indonesia. So this is a very, very serious issue. So I believe that Indonesia can explain its position.
Okay, that answers are really amazing. And thank you so much, Bapak Teuku Rezasha, for coming and give your perspective about today's topic. And so for a listener, as we conclude, that this kind of topic is actually quite solid take from Indonesia, and I hope that it will become the following thing that the other country might see to show solidarity and supporting other countries that are in need. And thank you so much for a listener for accompanying me in this today's special episode. Thank you so much. My name is Ray, and stay tuned with us always in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, it concludes today's news bulletin from the Voice of Indonesia, bringing you the latest updates from Indonesia to the world. Oh,
Indonesian Wonder is featuring Gesing Beach in Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta is famous for its various natural tourist attractions that have beautiful views, especially beach tourism, which is famous for its fantastic natural beauty. One of them is a beach located in Gunung Kidul area called Gesing Beach. It is about 40 kilometers from the center of Yogyakarta, precisely located in Girikarto Village, Panggang Subdistrict, Gunung Kidul Regency, Special Region of Yogyakarta. Although its location is quite remote and has not been visited by many, which added to its attraction of course, it offers stunning natural beauty. The attraction of Gesing Beach lies in its clean white sand and two coral hills that flank the beach. Here, visitors can do various activities such as taking a leisurely walk on the beach, fishing, and of course taking pictures because there are so many fascinating spots here. In addition, visitors can also shop for fresh fish and hunt for seafood culinary delights around the beach at affordable prices. The white sand on Gesing Beach, in addition to providing exotic views, is also an ideal spot to sit back and relax while enjoying the beautiful natural atmosphere. Gesing Beach can definitely become a place to relax in the midst of daily activities. The scenery and natural atmosphere of Gesing Beach are indeed extraordinary, so it can be an aesthetic place to take pictures, and the manager has also provided some Instagrammable spots that can be used, including the one shaped like a boat on the edge of a cliff. Although the location is remote, once you arrive at the location, the beauty and naturalness of Gesing Beach will eliminate your fatigue during the trip. Because in addition to its beautiful natural scenery, this beach also has wonderful underwater beauty since the water is clear and shallow and the coral reefs are clearly visible. For fish lovers, this place is crowded with various ornamental fish. Gesing Beach, a hidden paradise in Gunung Kidul, awaits you, especially nature adventurers, to explore the hidden paradise here. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. We'll meet again next time with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Temani aku di sini, namun bersamanya. Harusnya ku bisa sadar diri, aku sudah punya kekasih hati. Tapi tak ada salahnya bila ku merasakan rindu, rindu kamu yang pernah jadi milikku. Di bawah bulan purnama kita pernah berjanji bersama sehidup semati. Temani aku di sini, namun pada ya tanganku tak sampai menggapaimu. Takdir tak berpihak padaku untuk mempertahankanmu. Semoga kau bahagia hidup bersamanya.
Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and guide you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bali. Di Bali, which means in Bali. You will listen to a conversation about seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a domestic tourist at Tita Empul Temple, a popular destination in Gianyar Regency, Bali. And Chris and the domestic tourist are reading a regulation of Tita Empul Temple. Then they talk about what should be done at the temple.
Supaya memakai pakaian adat. Berarti saya harus memakai pakaian adat Bali.
Betul, seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini.
Aduh, saya tidak punya.
Jangan khawatir, kita bisa meminjam kain adat yang disediakan.
After listening to the conversation, here are some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic.
seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me. Seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. Memakai, memakai, which means wear. Pakaian, pakaian, which means clothing. Pakaian adat, pakaian adat, which means customary clothing. Bali, Bali, which means Bali. Area, area, which means area. Pura, pura, which means temple. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini, which means we should be wearing Balinese customary clothing around the temple. Jangan, jangan, which means don't. Khawatir, khawatir, which means worry. Jangan khawatir, jangan khawatir, which means don't worry. Kain, kain, which means clothes. In this conversation, you will hear the expression seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini. Seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini, which means we should be wearing Balinese customary clothing around the temple. In the expression, there is the word seharusnya, which means should be. The word means that something is required to be done in an activity. This means wearing Balinese traditional clothing is required at Tirta Empul Temple. Another example. Let's listen to another use of the word seharusnya, which means should be. Seharusnya Anda menjaga kebersihan di area pura. Seharusnya Anda menjaga kebersihan di area pura, which means you should keep cleanliness around the temple. Seharusnya kita naik motor ke pura ini. Seharusnya kita naik motor ke pura ini, which means we should take a motorbike to the temple. Tirta Empul Temple is a temple for Balinese Hindu in Bali, which is also a favorite tourism destination. The temple is located in Gianyar Regency. At Tirta Empul Temple, visitors can join the Melukat, a purification ritual in a hallowed pool. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, here is another round of the conversation.
Supaya memakai pakaian adat. Berarti saya harus memakai pakaian adat Bali.
Betul, seharusnya kita memakai pakaian adat Bali di area pura ini.
Aduh, saya tidak punya.
Jangan khawatir, kita bisa meminjam kain adat yang disediakan.
Listener, that's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about seharusnya, seharusnya, which means should be. We hope that this edition will be useful for you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Steve, sampai jumpa.
Suasana teruntuk kau yang saat ini.
Music Corner presents a song by Audela. Alba Wiyakedela Arif Suyoso, better known as Audela, is an Indonesian singer who has participated in various talent search events. However, so far, she only managed to come out as a finalist. Meanwhile, her name has begun to be known by the wider community since her first single entitled Tertawan Hati, which was released in 2022, became a hit. Audela continues to be productive, and recently she released a new song entitled Setengah Mati. This pop ballad genre song was created by Martinus Layardo and Clara Riva. The song, which was released at the end of September 2024, is dedicated to people who have failed to move on from a love story that is so difficult to erase from the memory. Well, listener, here is the song by Audela called Setengah Mati. Enjoy!
Kekasih, ada utara karena padamu.
Seolah-olah hanya